passing from this life, and we will stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for what we've done with our lives. And he will say, well done, or I don't know you. The choice is yours. And today we're going to hear the truth of his words, how we can be assured that we're going to hear well done, how that we can know for sure because his words are true. So remember his words. As we talk about his words today, remember them. Something we have to do is, first of all, we have to come to the realization of where we're at. We have to look at ourselves, evaluate ourselves. We have to know that we are not enough. You alone are not enough to get into heaven. You by yourself can never do enough good works, can never give enough offerings, can never show up to enough Holy Week services. You can never attend online enough to get to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. We have to realize that I am not enough. I can't do it. The Word of God tells us this in Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And around that, in that passage, it talks about Jesus Christ and his righteousness and how we are made righteous through what he did when he came and died on the cross. But we have to realize his words say, all have sinned. That means all of us are immediately disqualified from heaven until we start working down that road of repentance and acceptance of who he is. And then we change our story. But we first have to acknowledge, I'm a sinner. I have sinned. What do I do about it? Where do I go from here? Next thing we have to understand is I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I need a Savior. We have to come to that place of knowing that we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. We have to understand this next thing. He is enough. He is enough. Jesus Christ is enough for my sin to be forgiven, for me to have salvation and eternal life in heaven with him. He is enough. I'm not. He is. The next verse, I am worthy. Do you know that you're worthy? Do you know that you are worthy of forgiveness? Do you know that you are worthy of salvation? Do you know that you are worthy of eternal life in heaven? Do you know that you are worthy? Let's look at this verse, John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the people of North Idaho. No, it says the world. For God so loved the world, meaning humanity, the human race. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now we're going to stop right there for just a moment. The gospel in a nutshell. God loved, God gave, we believe, we receive. It boils down to that simple. God's already taken care of his two parts. He has loved us, and he has made a way possible. He gave his only son. Now I have to take care of my two parts. I have to believe. And after I have belief in who he says his son is, then I have to receive what he's done for me. I have to acknowledge, yes, I'm a sinner. I need repentance. I can't pay my bill at the sin shop. I can't afford it. I've maxed out every card I own, and I can't afford it. Taken every personal loan out, and I can't afford it. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ, said, hey, if you'll come to me, I've paid it. Your debt is paid in full. On to verse 17. This is one of my life verses. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Sometimes we have this false view of who God is, and we think he's this great big guy on a great big throne in heaven with a great big white beard, And he's holding lightning bolts, just waiting to judge us, waiting to get us. Watch, Arby's going to mess up again. This is going to be so fun. That's not God's heart. The truth is, for God so loved the world. There will come a day of judgment. I talked about that in the beginning. We all will stand before Jesus Christ and face judgment one day. Did you choose the forgiveness I extended to you that my son paid for? Did you choose the salvation that my son gave his life for? We all will stand there one day. There's no, I didn't sign up for that. Like, we're humans. We signed up for it. We're created in the image and likeness of God. We signed up for it. But what will you have to give an account for on that day of what you did with the life that he's given you, with the choices he's given you? What will he say to you on that day? We have to know that God loves us. And when we tell other people about it, I meet people all the time. Well, God wouldn't like me because I did this and this and this, or I do this and this is my habit and this is my bad behavior, or whatever. I said, no, that's not the heart of God. Right now, we're living in an amazing dispensation. Can you edit that out? Thank you. Yeah. Take two. We're living in this amazing dispensation of grace. God extends his grace to us. He gives us every chance and opportunity to get to him, to get to the heaven that he created and prepared for us. Because he did create hell also, but hell was intended for Satan and his fallen angels, demons. That's who hell was created for. It was not created for humanity. But if you don't choose him, you don't accept his forgiveness and his son as your Lord and Savior, you will find yourself there, isolated, alone, in the fiery furnace. And the Bible goes on and on to describe a little bit of what hell is going to be like. But it also tells us what heaven's going to be like. We'll get to some of those verses. So know that God loves you. Know that he is coming after you. He has already came once and made a way possible. He came to us. He didn't say, if you can get to heaven and find me, I will be yours. Except for God so loved the world that he sent, meaning he came to us first, even when we were still sinners, even when we were still unworthy of his grace and his love and his mercy. He came to us first, and that's the truth. Remember those words. He came and he is coming again. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. John 14, verses 1 through 4. Do not let your hearts be troubled. How many times does God tell us this in his word? We are a people full of anxiety and worry. God tells us again and again, don't fear, don't be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking here, of course, red letters. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? Do you hear his words today? He went to prepare a place for us, for each one of us. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Do you know that Jesus went to prepare a place for you in eternity? Have you ever prepared, invited people over for a party or dinner or some occasion? You got all ready and decorated the house and prepared the food and you set the table and then nobody showed up? Anybody? I only do that. I forgot to tell them what day it was. No, I didn't really do that. Now he's went and prepared. He's done his part. God has his part. I have my part. We're active participants in life with Jesus Christ. He does his part and he's already done it. And now I have to do my part to complete the puzzle. He's went away and he has made a place for us. He is going to return again. He is coming after us again. He's coming after us again. The word says he will return for his bride, the church, Big C. Not church, the life center, but Big C church, the church, the world, those who serve and follow him. One thing I hate about that first passage we read back in Luke, it says he was delivered over to the hands of sinners. The chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees were part of those people. The church people of that day were the sinners that he was delivered back into. I often pray, Lord God, let me not be one of those who doesn't see you clearly, who doesn't know you personally. God, I don't want to be part of that crowd. Help me, God, to know you and love you more. Open my eyes to the error of my way. Show me the wrong inside of me that I can make things right before you. So Christ is coming again. He came and he is coming again. Hear those words. Remember those words. He is coming back. And it talks about whether we're dead in the ground, buried from the grave, or still alive walking around. When he comes back, he's coming for us, his people. It talks about one will be taken and one will be left. Will you be taken or left? I want to be taken. So I try to live right before God every day. Jesus is the only way. There is one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. There's nothing else you can do, nothing else you can pay for or works you can do. John 14, verse 6. The disciples are talking to Jesus. Well, how do we know the way to the Father? And Jesus tells him this in verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There might be a lot of different roads and trails that lead us to Jesus, but Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to eternity and salvation. We might walk a lot of different paths to get to Jesus. And our relationship with Jesus might look different than other people around us. But he is the only way to the Father, to life everlasting. Hear his words. And know there's nothing you can do or say except for, Father, forgive me. I repent before you of my sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. Show me. Direct me each and every day. Here's one awesome thing you need to remember about Jesus. He forgives and forgets. When you take your sin to Christ, say, here it is, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. He goes, okay, you're forgiven. And then it goes, poof. The word tells us it's as far as the east is from the west in his mind. He remembers it no more. You need to know when you come in repentance to Christ that he remembers it no more. We as humans have a little harder time forgetting, usually, sometimes. Maybe some of you don't. But Jesus remembers it no more. Hear his words. Remember his words. His blood covers me, or us. His blood covers us. His blood is enough. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, meaning if we act like Christ, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. And nothing else can do that. So be like Christ. When you're dealing with people, how did Christ deal with people? Think about that. Remember his words. How did he speak to people? How did he approach people? Remember John 3:17, he did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it through himself. So we need to be like Christ and show love and compassion and invite people into relationship with Jesus Christ. They have to walk through this list too. They have to come to grips with, I'm not enough. I can't get there on my own. I'm in need of a Savior. I'm in need of repentance. We all have to get there on our own. We can have help, but we personally have to get there for ourselves. The resurrection proves his power. This painting on the end, not the one down but up, the tomb is empty. A lot of great men had died before that were great men. But Jesus' tomb is empty. Proves his power over life and death. Resurrection Sunday. What an exciting Sunday. I sent somebody happy Resurrection Day and they sent back, don't you mean Easter? I said, no. And we can call it Easter and I'm fine with that, but I mean happy Resurrection Sunday. My God, he's alive. Yeah. What does that mean for us? The tomb is empty. Can I confess as a pastor? Is it okay if I do that? Yeah? You know, I have this problem. And God's been working it out of me. He has a lot. But I cuss sometimes. I'm pretty intense. I'm pretty competitive. And sometimes I get irritated or agitated or frustrated. And a word slips out, and I hate it. Absolutely hate it. I said, God, would you just, for years, for decades, I have prayed, God, would you just take this from me? Like, would you even block those words from my thoughts and my minds? And at one point in my life, it was like I couldn't form a sentence without using those words. Some of you have probably been there. Maybe some of you are still there. But most of the time, I'm really good. If you hang around me long enough, you can ask my wife, my kids. They're like, you shouldn't say that. It's like, duh, I know. And I don't want to. And I don't know why. I know people, I've heard testimonies that people that cuss like sailors and God just took it away like that. And I'm like, God, why can't I be one of those guys? And I think, you know, maybe it's my thorn in my flesh that keeps me humble and keeps me knowing that I need a Savior. Knowing that I'm imperfect without him. Bringing me back to him in repentance and on my knees saying, God, I'm sorry. God, I screwed up again. God, help me. And there's this little enemy that would say, see, you're not qualified to be a pastor. I'm not even sure you're qualified for Jesus to love you. And if we'll let, that's not conviction, that's condemnation. That's guilt and shame coming from a lie. From an enemy. The words of Jesus say, I came to save you, to redeem you, to make you righteous, and it can only happen through me, my blood. So I'm not perfect, so I mean, if you need to attend a church with a perfect pastor, this isn't the right place for you. I'm just a vessel of God. Wait, what'd you say? My wife's telling stories on me. Nope. I'm just somebody who loves Jesus, and I want to draw closer to him every day, and I want to get better every day. And I can get stuck in a moment and go, oh, why did I say that? And I'm so horrible, and I'm worthless, and I'm unworthy. And then I have to remind myself, those aren't thoughts that Jesus would give me. Those aren't things that Jesus would say about me. He would say, come to me. Come to me. And we're going to take communion in a few moments. Minutes, actually. But I want you to think, what do you need? Because Jesus' body and blood, which is what communion represents, what do you need to remember? in your life that Jesus has covered for you. And he invites us to repentance again and again and again and again. You know how often he tells us to forgive one another? 70 times 7 per offense per day. That's a lot. So we have to come to the realization of knowing that we're imperfect, being made perfect by who he is. Because God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And if God's calling you, he can qualify you along the way. And if I look back over the journey of my last couple decades and where God has brought me, it's amazing. And I hope you can do the same. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we're going to have a song and a dance routine here in a moment. And as that's playing and going on, I want you to be thinking, where have I gone astray? Where have I turned to my own way? I think about Jesus and his covering our iniquity and his covering our transgressions. And sin is one thing. When I'm cussing, I'm sinning. I don't get up in the morning and say, hey, I'm going to use a bunch of filthy language today. I don't go out and do that intentionally. So it's an unintentional sin. We still need to repent of those. But in this passage, what Jesus is covering for us is this: iniquity, an intentional choice. Something I do intentionally, knowing that it is sin. Jesus says, my blood and my body still cover that. Still, even when you intentionally go do it. And transgression is this: to disobey intentionally. Intentional disobedience, or rather rebellion against God. And Christ says, still, my blood is sufficient for you. So as this dance is going on, be thinking about, where am I sinning unintentionally? Where am I intentionally sinning by choice, knowing it's wrong, but yet I do it? And where am I being intentionally disobedient to what God has called me to do, to what God has asked of me? And I want you to be thinking about those things. And then we're going to receive communion after this dance. And I want you to take it before God.
Separated, the breach was far too wide.
Serve an amazing God who has made a way for us. When I think about sin, I think of it as a shooter. And sin is to miss the mark. Wouldn't it be terrible if we missed the mark and could never get back on track? I think when I take a rifle out or my bow out to sight it in, and if it would get off the mark and I could never get it back to zero, that would be horrible. But God gives us a way to repent of our sin and to get back to hitting bullseyes once again. As you receive communion today, first of all, confess to God, just sitting in your seat as you stand, as you prepare to come forward, say, God, maybe you have a sin that God brought to you during that dance. He's saying, Arby, you need to repent. You're not in right standing with me. Arby, you're in rebellion. Arby, you're intentionally making those choices. Or maybe it's something unintentional that God just brought to your mind and said, hey, I want to clean that part of you up. I want to help you out. God made a way. Hear his words today. You are worthy. He loved you. He came for you. He gave for you. Now you must choose to believe and receive what he's done for you. The communion table is for those who need a Savior. It's for those who need repentance. And when you come to communion, you remember what the Lord has done. And you remember that you have need of a Savior, that you have need of having your sins washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because you can't do it on your own. So remember, as you receive communion today, what the Lord has done for you. Repent and receive what he's done for you today. Amen. Kathleen's going to sing and play. If you would come up the middle aisles and get communion, if you want to meet up front as families, that's awesome. If you want to go back to your seats, that's great. Please go back up the outside walls, if you would. Upstairs in the balcony, you have it available there in the middle also. But just as you're ready, stand, come and receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, his resurrection power over your sin.